Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world.
It's Father's Day, and today we want to honor our fathers. And I have three scriptures I'd like to share. First, husbands, and then for children, which are fathers' responsibilities. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, a sacrificial love husbands have for their wives." And then down in verse 28, it says, "So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." And then also over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And so fathers have a teaching responsibility and a great opportunity to influence the next generation for Christ as they live out godly lives before their wife and their children, and as they lead their families in a righteous way, as they depend upon God for their wisdom and guidance and direction. They can bring up their children in the way they should go, and God will bless them and bless their families and use them in a mighty way.
Till I am wholly lost. This is Dennis Campbell, president of Mission Go. With this week's Mission Moments, we continue our visit to the country of Sierra Leone, West Africa. In our report from our missionary, our people share that they are experiencing an exceptionally hot, dry season and are anxiously anticipating the coming rains. It is so hot that a jar of Vaseline turned to liquid this morning. Even the local folks are complaining about the heat. I am reminded of the psalmist's words, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you, O God," Psalm 41:1. I pray that we will long for his refreshing presence even as we long for cool, refreshing rains. Our team is excited to welcome several volunteer groups and enjoy the sweet fellowship around the dinner table. In February, a fellow missionary got married, and the full team welcomed 7 members of her family here for a short visit. Also, a group of dentists was in Sierra Leone, and they graciously spent 2 afternoons at our campus pulling over 90 teeth, handing out Bibles, and sharing the gospel message with many. Rachel, a midwife from North America, had been on campus in Mukanji for the past 3 months. What a joy she was. She delivered several babies, and the nurses learned so much from her. We all were blessed by her smile and encouraging words. We pray she will be back soon. The Henry family of 3 came in March for a month. They are joining the team to share Jesus in this district through teaching, discipleship, and counseling. We are so looking forward to having them here full time. They have returned to North America, and once adequate support has been raised, will return prayerfully this fall. And then, just last week, we welcomed the Norris family, who will work here in Mukanji for 2 years in the areas of teaching, medicine, and discipleship. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9:38. At the end of March, one of our couples in the field made an unexpected trip back to North America as the wife's father passed away at the age of 92. He had suffered from Alzheimer's his last few years, but remained so grateful and kind until his last breath. He leaves a wonderful legacy, having served in Zimbabwe for 30 years as a school superintendent, pastor, and church planter. After retirement, he continued serving the Lord faithfully in various capacities in North America. We are thankful we could celebrate his life with many friends and family members. We rejoice to hear that 27 new believers confessed Jesus as their Lord as they were baptized. 7 of them were from our Treehouse Girls program. Mission reports reveal the rafters are up on the new primary school in Mukanji, and the first year's curriculum is waiting for us at the port in Freetown. It is happening. Our country team spent some time this week with a principal in Bo, who has a similar vision, to reach children for the kingdom and raise them to be men and women of God. He has walked the journey we are now on. He was encouraging and very helpful in giving needed advice. Please continue to pray as September rapidly approaches. The teachers will respond to his call to be part of this ministry. We know God has already chosen them. The well digging teams are now working on their 12th new well since December, as well as having repaired and deepened several wells. Our senior missionary leader is staying busy supplying them with materials, visiting potential new sites, and sharing the gospel with the village before and after the well is completed. Please pray for the safety of the workers, the equipment, and the vehicles, as it is sometimes a full-time job keeping everything operating. I realize anew that so very little of the work here would be possible without your prayers, financial support, and encouraging words. We do so appreciate you. I wish I could write each of you a personal note, but for today, thank you for your prayers and direct support in the growth of this important place for the gospel light to shine the good news. Blessings to you all. This month, we would like to make available a booklet about the greatest poverty. Loneliness and the feeling of being uncared for or unwanted are the greatest poverty. A quote by Mother Teresa in this booklet, titled No Longer Alone, by Joni Erickson Tada. We understand that when one is lonely, cultivating intimacy with God is a good place to start. God says that when we seek close company with Him, We not only realize we are never alone, but we will see we can reach out to others who are in greater need. Nothing fills a void quite like getting the focus off you and onto someone else in greater distress. Joni says, look for divine encounters. It takes courage to reach out to others. You will learn several techniques in this booklet for moving from loneliness to friendship. To order your copy of the booklet, No Longer Alone, written by Joni Erickson Tata, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 12210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We wish to bless your life with these messages. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners.
Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco and is on the topic of Father's Day. Printed copies are available upon request.
Special greetings on this Father's Day to every listener and especially to all the dads. May the Lord bless you, give you wisdom and courage as you endeavor to lead your family in the ways of the Lord. In honor of fathers, I'd like to quote a writer who paid tribute to his father in the words of a poem entitled My Dad. Some boys, they call their dad Papa. Oh boy, that makes me mad. It sounds so stiff and like a book, you bet I call mine Dad. And he's a good one too, you bet. The boys all wish they had a father that would laugh and play and love them like my dad. Of course, sometimes when all the bills come in, he's mighty mad. And then we sit as still as mice and hear him storm. Poor Dad. It's always over soon, and then you bet we all feel glad. And then we climb up on his lap and hug and squeeze our dad. You can't have kids and money too, he says, and so he's glad the good Lord made him poor, or else he mightn't have been our dad. I don't want to be president, like most every little tad. When I'm grown up, I'd rather be a good man like my dad. Well, may we all, by God's grace, live good lives that our families and those around will be drawn to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Today our topic is a strong man's deplorable choice. To every little boy, there is no one as big and strong as his father. In the Bible, there were many strong men, some good and some bad. Goliath was a big, strong man, but regrettably, he chose to oppose God and God's people. David, the shepherd boy, would not have been thought of as strong, yet because he knew and obeyed the Lord, God enabled him to defeat the giant. Our talk today is about a man named Abner, who lived in the time of David. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8 says, Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's army, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and made him king over all Israel. Now, we must think back for a moment and remember that God had given Saul to be king of Israel when the people desired to be like all the surrounding nations. King Saul began well, but soon went his own way instead of God's way. His disobedience cost him the kingdom. God rejected Saul and commanded the prophet Samuel to anoint David, the shepherd boy, to be king. David had to flee for his life as Saul attempted to kill him. And there were many years that this took place. After several years, however, Saul died in fighting the Philistines. And then Abner, who was the general of the army, as we've said, and Saul's right-hand man, chose Saul's son to be king instead of David. Now, Abner was a big, strong man. He was captain. And in those days, the strongest, the bravest, the most skillful only was made the captain. Abner, of course, was all of these. Perhaps it was his loyalty to Saul and his house that made him do what he did. But more likely, it was his own self-interest. If Saul's son reigned, then Abner would be important and powerful. But if he turned to David, he would simply be one among many. A key verse is found in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 6. And it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. Now, this was a deplorable choice. The tribe of Judah crowned David king, as God had said. But the other tribes followed Abner, and because of his influence, they crowned Saul's son as king. Now, surely all Israel knew that God had rejected Saul and that David had been anointed as God's choice. So Abner and Israel's choice was in direct disobedience to God. Abner and Israel surely had heard the prophet Samuel denounce King Saul when he was disobedient. For 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 says, And Samuel said to Saul, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, surely if such consequences befell King Saul because of his disobedience, how could Abner and Israel expect to escape such dire consequences? And of course, dire consequences followed. There were many soldiers of both sides that were slain because of that unneeded war. This was a deplorable waste of human life and all the suffering that accompanied it. Then, Abner and Israel's refusal to anoint David king was a serious wrong done to David. This was akin to treason. Fortunately, David did not press his rightful claims, but waited patiently for the Lord. to work things out. Abner's action was also deplorable because he chose to support a futile and losing cause. His skills, efforts, and labors were spent for that which would not last. For the house of Saul was doomed to obscurity, and the house of David alone would triumph, as God had said. So we read in 2 Samuel 3, "Now the house of David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker." I wonder today how many of us are living as Abner did, for useless and worthless causes. Some of these might be to live entirely for earthly wealth. To do that is to follow Abner's deplorable choice. For Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Mark chapter 8. It's one thing to live for yourself or to make a living for yourself and your family, which of course is right, as Scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians 3, the Apostle Paul said, "For we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat." So God has honored the work ethic by setting creation as well as a pattern for man. God worked for 6 days, then rested on the seventh. We need to follow the creation pattern. The problem arises when covetousness enters man's mind and heart, when more and more things are needed, and bigger things are needed, and all of life energy is directed in laying up treasures on this earth. God says that's like spending your strength to build up the house of Saul. It's futile. Jesus told the story of a rich man who planned to tear down his barns and build bigger, only to hear God say, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Friends, we need to walk a fine line between improving our lives but resisting the temptation to covetousness. The way to reject covetousness is to honor God with our substance, to support God's church and his worldwide work of missions and other societies, and to give to worthy causes. And thus we can lay up treasures in heaven, as Jesus said. Then, too, to live for sinful pleasures is to build up a house of Saul. There will be little or nothing of lasting value, for Scripture says the wages of sin is death, Romans 3. And whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, Galatians 6. Moses is a good example of making choices that bring eternal blessings. In Hebrews 11, verse 24, we read, "By faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Now notice what it says. Moses chose between having all that Egypt could have offered him, riches, power, fame, pleasure. But he thought, "That will only be for a few years, and then it's all gone. But if I follow God's will, it may be suffering for a few years, then I will have all eternity to enjoy it." Moses chose to follow God, and today he enjoys life beyond anything our minds could dream of. Scripture tells us he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus and talked of his great work for sinners that would be accomplished on the cross. I wonder how many other exciting things he has experienced over these years as a result of his choosing God's way. And the best yet, there is all eternity ahead. King David understood something of this when he wrote that in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16. To live for the sinful pleasures of this world is to doom your life to futility, disillusionment, and regret. To live your life and make choices in the light of eternity is to guarantee a life of satisfaction here and a very happy eternity. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, the interesting thing about Abner is that he had a change of heart. He decided to stop his futile efforts in support of Saul's house and began to encourage the reluctant tribes to do what God wanted, that is, to make King David king over them. In 2 Samuel 3:17, we read, "And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, Ye sought for David in times past, now do it. And Abner spake in the ears of Benjamin, and in the ears of David, all that seemed good to Israel." Abner was of great stature, and he was thus successful in persuading the tribes to end their rebellion and turn to David as king. Friends, that was a great step for Abner and Israel, for it was God's plan that David should reign, and out of David's line, of course, would come his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be king over all Israel as well as the world. Now, if Abner could change and make the right decision, then so can we. Scripture says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you will turn to Christ today and receive him as Savior, as Lord, and as the King of your life, then you can begin a whole new chapter, just as the Scripture says. The promises that God made to Mary so many years before was that Christ should be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign forever. Friends, this is the kind of thing we need to be supporting: the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to be king over the world. If you have not followed his will and his way, then turn from following the house of Saul and support the house of David. Follow the plan of God for your life, and he will bless you.
I'm sure that you enjoyed the biblical message you just heard. We pray that everyone that listens to Canada's National Bible Hour would be a believer in Jesus Christ. We pray that, as the Scriptures teach us, that of all sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Scriptures go on to tell us that as many as receive him, receive the Lord Jesus, unto them gave he the right to become the sons of God. You can be a child of God by receiving Jesus Christ into your heart.
Remember to order your copy of the booklet No Longer Alone, written by Joni Erickson Tada.
You can write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Don't forget, you can hear past messages of Canada's National Bible Hour on our website, which is missiongo.org, missiongo.org, or you can hear podcasts on iTunes. Look for missiongo-radio. May the Lord bless you and use you this next week.